Hello and welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovka Bano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And it finally happened.
It finally happened. Oh yes. We're going down. We're very going down. Was that not the song you're referencing?
Oh no, I was just going down there.
Yeah. Oh right, okay. Yeah.
Surely it's something like Fall Out Boy, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Sugar,
yeah.
We're going down, yeah. Swinging with very little swinging involved,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. So spoiler alert, Sprovka have been relegated.
And yeah, we're gonna talk about it to you.
Yeah. We're not gonna go too hardcore on it. We're going heavy on the fripperies today. Because it's frankly too depressing.
It's once we sort
and
of,
inevitable.
Yeah, if we can, we're gonna take some time to compute this, even though I think that we all knew this was going to happen around about mid-October. We will be, I believe, in a fortnight's time, be having our usual end of season review,
mm-hmm.
which will have lots of fun and games. Well, it'll have things in it.
Yeah, I might change it to an end of season review REVUE, where we just have musical numbers and costumes instead. Yeah. Yeah, I think that will be, you know, eases the pain. But as we said, the finger pointing and recriminations have already begun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm cliche bound to say the post mortem has already begun. But we're going to go into all of that and some other stuff.
Do they usually do post mortems on things that have been dead for a while?
Yeah, I think the corpse of Sprovka is, you know, has hit rigor mortis at this point. So
I'd say more. I think it's getting to the, you know when they exhumed Cromwell and they just to hang
put
John
on,
Quarter's
yeah.
corpse. I'm feeling very much like that's happening at the moment.
Anyway, we are going to start with something positive. We got to go and see the football.
We did.
Hooray! So, off to Srpska we went for the first time in 9 months, probably.
Yeah,
the
last time that we played a home game and we were allowed to go was the 3-0. It was a 2-0. The 2-0 defeat to Karvina.
Yeah.
So that
was game six of the season, I think.
Yeah, something.
Because we had home to Sparta, Olomouc, and then Karvina. So yeah, game six.
We were at home to Bohemians.
Well, either way, it's sometime around then. Let's not get too nitpicky about it. But the point is, we were back. We were allowed to go back to see some football in the sunshine. And I bloody loved it. It was really, really nice.
It was a lovely day for it.
Yeah.
I think you have to actually, before we even go into it, actually, for once, actually praise the club for doing this reasonably efficiently. How they were able to distribute tickets to those who were interested.
Yeah.
And make the process reasonably smooth, even though you did have to go in and get, an antigen test from your nearest health repository.
Yes.
In advance.
So, yeah, how it worked was, basically, the Wednesday before the game, they emailed every season ticket holder, and you could reserve a space for your season ticket. The first 600 would get an email back, a confirmation email. And then, yeah, it was up to you to get yourself an antigen test or a PCR test, valid for no more than 48 hours before kickoff. So we duly did. That's easy enough. You can book online and wander in, and it's done in sort of 15, 20 minutes. You get your results. That was fine. And then you could go along. And it all worked very smoothly, didn't it? It was very good. Yeah. So standing we were on a Saturday, sort of late afternoon, beer in hand, sun on the back. And yeah, it was really, really nice. We lost, obviously, 3-2 it was.
Yeah.
Boleslav scored their first goal after 6 minutes. So that was, it felt like we were really back there as Durchal found himself with nobody near him, a yard from goal.
Yeah, it was one of those goals that I'm pretty sure I've seen us concede about 10 times this season. And it's the usual thing where Sprovka just, you know, start something reasonably positively, and then just have a complete nightmare at the back, switch off, and it's what has actually killed us all season.
Yeah.
Is just balls across the box.
Yep.
Where, you know, people don't know, you know, where they're on. They're sort of, you know, backs to the player, or, you know, not having backs to goal either, and it's just goes horribly wrong every single time. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really the keeper can do about it, unless you make the argument that keeper should be the one that organises the defence. But wasn't good, and it sort of did set the tone for what was, you know, going to maybe, you know, come on for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, so Durchal scores, then it's sort of back and forth until the 38th minute, and it's Dogera with a rocket. It's one of those, it's bouncing around the area, it comes out, and he just catches it, doesn't it? It's like a 30-yard volley from the edge of the area.
I didn't even feel that bad.
It was worth coming just to see that. Dear me, what a hit.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I was just convinced the game was gone. And what we had been talking about leading up to that anyway was the result was actually seemed immaterial, you know, compared to the fact that we were able to actually go into a ground, have a beer, you know, talk to some people again. And it felt a little bit more like, you know, like a Saturday afternoon.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like we used to have. And if, you know, hopefully, you know, we play our cards right and, you know, the country keeps going the way it is in terms of cases, and this will become more and more and more in the future, and we hopefully will be in a place where we can, to an extent, enjoy next season.
Mm.
It might still be a stretch if we're looking at things like away support and stuff like that. That's going to almost certainly be hanging in the balance. But on the trajectory we're currently going, I think that decent home crowds,
mm-hmm.
a couple of thousand maybe will be a distinct possibility. Argument being, of course, if we'd need any more than that.
So they allowed 600 people into the game. And, you know, I said, that doesn't look like we've got 600 people. Yeah. Do you know what the official attendance was?
Go on.
280.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
This is... I forgot to check my email today until a bit later for the Opava game. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll not get a ticket. I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. So, basically, we go in, back to the football thing. We go in at halftime 2-0 down. 2 minutes after the break, Durchal gets his second and we're 3-0 down. 2 minutes after that, there's a penalty. Pernitzer puts it away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sort of fighting back. 74 minutes, Pekistar gets one back, but 3-2 it finishes. And Boleslav, who have looked good and absolutely worked their way up the table well and professionally to safety from January. Now safely ensconced in lower mid table. So, you know, well done them.
They look fantastic.
Yeah.
Like the two things that really did catch your eye was just how better Boleslav look on the ball after they've made these additions. And,
you know,
cliche, but you know, when you have better players coming in on loan, even just for, I'm assuming, to get fitness up in some cases for a lot of these guys.
In Skalak's case, I'm sure that was true.
Absolutely.
Like, because he hasn't, you know, he's barely featured in England for about a year and a half now, mm-hmm. so.
And they just ended up running the show for vast waves of the game. And isn't it, if we're talking about, like, or, you know, we did comment that these balls across the box and that goal that we could replicate 10, 15 times this season has really killed us. What also has killed us is the idea that we only show up after we're two or three goals down.
Yes.
And again, it happened. It felt very much like the Budjovica game, where we got just ripped on the counter a bunch of times, and then, oh, we decided to wake up and thought, oh, we might as well give it a crack now, and it's too late.
Yeah. Too late for many things. Now we've done that.
do you remember the old duffer behind us, man, who was just chatting away all game? And then it got back.
What, Pavel?
Aye. Yeah. No, this old guy. And then he got up to leave. And he saw the second goal for us go in. 3-2. And he was just like, I'm on my feet now and just fucked up anyway.
Oh, that was that guy. What was he?
Didn't even stay for the...
What was he saying? He'd been supporting Zbrovka since when?
1945.
Yeah, his first game was... Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I believed that because he did not look like...
No.
80s.
I bet... Yeah, it might have been like 1954.
Maybe
or something,
he was born in 1945. Yeah, but
yeah, it's kept up the hashtag witty banter throughout, didn't he? Yeah. So that was, yeah, that was a thing, and we were glad to do it. And I'm sure, even though we are now down and we're playing Opava, who are bottom, well, we might get some goals, and we'll be glad to do it again if we can.
I'm going for 90 minutes solely to shout things about Bartoniak.
And we're going to talk about him in the next section, which we're going to call Ownership Chat. Ownership Chat!
Is that a long enough pause for the music to come in?
It was exactly the right amount of time. That's down to good editing, if I do say so myself.
So this is going to be the French section of the podcast, where we talk about the ownership of felines.
Of a cat, yeah.
Voici le chat de Zbroyovcast.
Mm-hmm. Zbroyovcat.
You know,
there you go.
Why,
it was sitting there looking at you. You missed a trick by not calling Lulu that, by the way.
It's my own cat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, this was not going to be a section, but I received a message today.
It's even a wav.
Yeah, from the boys at Infinity Rocket Plastics. Yeah. Bastards. No, I received a message from... somebody with contact on the inside. I'm going to call him A. Pietrocher. No, that's too obvious. Let's call him Adam P. Yeah. Anyway, he is mates with a guy who is quite high up in a local Bonneau PR agency.
Okay.
And on May the 31st, there is planned to be a meeting between Václav Bartoniek, the majority owner of the club, the Bonneau city and representatives of the city and all its kind of concerns, sporting and civil and so forth, and this PR agency that our man works for, concerning basically what they're calling already crisis communications.
Oh, boys.
Yes. It's to discuss the ownership and the future of the club and basically trying to pacify the majority of the fans and the rest of the city, which is why they're bringing the city people in to give more on the state of the ownership, the state of the stadium, what, if anything, Bartoniek basically tends to bring to the club as his going concern that's being run into the ground, and so forth. The other...
Worth pointing out at this point, because some people will think, especially back home, about what has the tower, what's the city proper got to do with the football club, if it's like an ownership or whatever. Worth remembering that City owns a stadium.
Yes.
And if we're not playing at that stadium...
Yeah.
I can't think of anywhere else we can actually play in Brno.
Yeah. it's also to do with the fact that any money that the city is going to be investing in the club, i.e. helping them to renovate Luzhanki, or... there was talk about renovating Srpska or bringing it up to a higher standard, depends on us being in the top league and bringing in money, because they're not going to do it all themselves. The club needs to be pulling its weight. The city is basically attempting to do them a favour by making it as simple as possible, and they're not going to do that if there is no support and the club is a laughingstock. So, yeah. There is also a rumour... if you don't know... when we say Bartoniek, we mean Václav Bartoniek, who owns 70% of the club. He bought that majority shareholding in 2013 from Jaroslav Přeček, who in turn had bought that 70% from the Prost brothers, Roman and Stanislav. Their ownership era began in 2003, and it coincided with the club's youth system doing very well, and us producing a lot of players like Ondra Mazuch and Marek Streštík and the one who went to CSKA Moscow, whose name escapes me, but basically making a lot of money for the club. Martin Lejsal came through. We sold him to Venezia, I think, as well. And Roman Pross was basically accused of keeping all the money for himself and not putting it back in. And then there was... Pros, 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 Piloto Hodost, which was the back in the day version of Bartoniek then. Mm. So he sold up, Přeček took over, and then a year after that, Bartoniek came in. And yeah, as I say, since 2013, he's been the majority shareholder. The only person who has been there the whole time is Petr Hoskovets, who was the smaller partner from the Pross brothers era onwards. They had 70, he had the 30, he kept his 30 when Přeček was there, and he still owns the 30 that now that Bartoniek is there. There are rumours of him selling his 30%. He's the only person who's been there since like 2003 as a minority shareholder. But there are rumours of him selling his 30% to Wedos, the company that now owns the naming rights to the ground and the hideous sponsor on the front of our shirts.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Some hot ownership chat for you there. What do you reckon?
So, I mean, the problem is, do I want to give you more editing to do?
Why?
Well, does this mean that the club that is proud sponsors of the Wedos Derby...
Wedos Derby!
Good.
...is going to be involved in the club's day-to-day runnings? Might improve their website.
Yeah, so, I'm just putting it out there. It's all rumour and conjecture for the moment, but this end of May press, you know, PR thing is supposed to be quite a big...
Was there not supposed to be, like, the 47th richest man in the Czech Republic interested?
Yes, this also is to either possibly address or, like, confirm or deny rumours of... His name Veit, possibly? I can't remember his surname. But yeah, your Prague businessman who used to own Slavia.
Because the only stuff that I've really heard on this, and thank you, because that was as much for my benefit as the listeners, that overview. All that
I went digging into the like Eden-S archives from like 2011.
Because all I've really read so far is a sport article that said that Bartoniek was not going to sell because he likes selecting the managers and saying who to buy.
There's a game for that. It's on Steam. It'll cost you about 40 quid if you want to play at being a proper football man.
But it is, this is going to be, I think, the story of what happens over the summer. The problem that I'm going to have, and we'll go into this later in future episodes, is this going to mean that we just are in limbo and aren't able to get a good manager and a good squad in place for the start of the season?
Yeah, well, it remains to be seen, doesn't it? But yeah, we'll see what happens end of this month, and you will hear it or see it possibly first on probably on our social media. If you're not following us on Facebook and Twitter, do so. We're at Zbrojovcast. And yeah, come for the memes, stay for the vague bits of journalism that occasionally happen. So yeah, that's that. Shall we do a beer of the podcast?
If you like.
I would like.
Okay.
Podcast with beer.
Or is it?
Of the, is it?
I've gone rogue, David.
Yeah, I'm the podcast rogue.
So let's go for Cider of the Podcast.
Unprecedented scenes here at Zbrojovcast Towers. Scenes.
This is our version of Dylan going electric, I feel.
Yeah.
So you've been far more into the ciders recently.
I have, yes. Summer is coming, after all, so...
It's time for the quaffable...
Yes, exactly. The quaffable fruitiness.
So I thought we'd have a go.
Good. Excellent.
And what I have for you is a local. This is Jarmila Stoprocent Brněnský. Cider from Richard.
That is a lovely label, by the way.
Isn't it cute?
It's very, very nice indeed. I'll put a picture of this on the social, because that is a lovely label.
So yes, they're offering us a semi-dry cider,
mm-hmm.
straight out of Brno. Got this from the shop at, I can never remember the name, it's a Vinoteca stroke beer spot, which is on Veverje, and it's opposite the Albert. And a bottle of this will cost you 38 crowns.
That's good.
Smell it.
Oh, it's proper organic-y, Yeah.
It's giving me Siderca vibes, which I think we talked about on this podcast before. There is a delivery cider service available around Brno.
That's exact. Yes, I couldn't remember the name, but you're spot on.
Those ciders were great.
It's that fresh, slightly, like, it even smells a little bit sparkly. It just smells fresh. It's really, really nice.
It's giving me, like, sort of, it triggers me a little bit. It sort of smells a bit like when I used to go on family holidays to
Herefordshire.
To Brittany.
Right.
Where they're really into their cider there.
That's
because
true,
they're
yeah.
Celts. And this is giving me the whole sort of stuff. Because I think at like age 12, 13 or whatever, my dad was just like, fuck it, if you want cider, just go for it, mate.
Yeah.
So this is hopefully going to be
good. Let's have a go on this then.
Cheers, cheers.
Absolutely loving this label, that's really nice. Okay, so.
Yeah, that'll do.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, nicely.
Too sweet. Not too carbonated either.
Yeah, nicely dry. Yeah. Yes. Well done.
Bit of intrigue.
Yes. Well found, by the way. That's an excellent find. I'll be back for some of that, I think.
So yeah, very pleased with that. That is definitely going to be the summer coming up. Sort of stuff. Sitting out in your garden, not mine. Fuck it, you can host like everything this season you've hosted. Sitting out in your garden with that and the.
Yeah. Lovely.
All right.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm completely bamboozled now as to what on earth we've got next on the list.
Is that a quiz with Bamber Boozler, your
host? It was not. It was Hot or Not, actually.
Oh,
which would be
we're
a nice.
We're
going through
ones.
Going through all the fun stuff. So, you know, when it gets back to the football, you can just turn off. Do not just turn off. Right. So, yeah, we're going to do Hot or Not after this little break. Right, before we do Hot or Not, where do you say this is from?
From Janáčovice.
Kelechi Janáčovice.
I love how you're like, we've got to do this.
You've got
bit
to re-record
now,
that. I've got to put that pun down. Yeah. But no, it's from where? Like, I know.
Janáčovice. So it is, the internet tells me that it's got a population of 508 and lies approximately 10 kilometres northwest of Brno.
508 and a shitload of apples.
Yeah, if you look at it on the map, it's not a million miles away from Verska Bitiška, so going up a dam, that sort of.
Right, yes. Yeah, I see, yeah. Oh, that's nice, yeah.
So yeah, it's you know exactly what it is, and that bit, when you go up there, is incredibly rural. So it will be, it'll be orchards and farms and all the fun stuff there. For those who want to get away from it all.
10 kilometres away from it all, yeah.
Take the boat.
Yes, yes.
Is the boat back?
I don't know. Anyway, it's the section of the podcast where we get to say it all. Hot or not, hot or not, hot or not, hot or not, hot or not.
So that's Wunderbar.
It is Wunderbar. And that, what's the name of the song? No.
No, is that Temple Tudor?
Temple Tudor. Okay. Well done. Yeah. If you can name any of their other singles, you're doing well.
Swords of Thousand Men.
Is the one everyone knows, yeah.
Yep, and I'll absolutely take that.
There was one other one that like was sort of big-ish. And it was Throwing My Baby Out with the Bathwater.
I think you've talked to me about this before.
Brilliant. Yeah.
This is
the big three of Temple Tudor singles.
Ben's quite into them as well. Like Ben, who watches the games with us quite often and is a listener to this podcast.
Is he? Really?
I think so. But you're all singing it in this living room at some point, and I was just
That's true.
That might have been during the we might be staying up after all days.
Yes.
Halcyon days.
They were good, weren't they? Anyway, hot or not, what have you got?
Hot or not, David?
Hot and a not.
I'll go for a couple of very quick knots, and I'll go for quite a quick hot, actually, to be honest.
All right, do you want to do one of your knots first then?
All right, mine is SK Leishan getting banned from Twitter.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is not to be confused with the actual official club
SK account. SK Leishan Brno.
Yes, but it's to do with the actual meme account. I've tried to do some digging and find out what they did. I choose to think that they actually got banned for doing something naughty rather than the club tracking them down and, you know, like they promised they would. But did they say they'd ban for life the perpetrators or whatever for posting some memes about how Zbrojovka are dreadful?
Yeah.
So on our social media list, there's now two scalps. There's the Leishen account, there's Slavia Irsko. Who's going to be next for the chop while we still endure?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that is a shame. It is a very, very bad look for a club when a fake just banter account is much better value and actually has decent news than your actual club Twitter account. And so you get them banned.
Stop taking yourself so seriously, for
fuck's sake. Exactly, yes.
Rubbish. It is this all, you know, we belong with the big boys and we're the sleek sort of like, fuck off, man. Like, you're allowed to have a laugh on the internet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, fair enough.
Give us some positives.
All right, I'll give you a hot, and it is Salernitana. Are you aware of their work?
Is that not that club where drinks are free?
At the Salernitana. No, they are an Italian football team that were sort of bouncing around between Serie A and Serie B in the, like, sort of, you know, main days of football Italia on Channel 4.
Did they not get promoted?
They did, and I did a little bit of looking into their backstory, and in 2012 they were declared completely bankrupt, the original Salernitana, and they reformed as a Phoenix club, Salernitana 1919.
Which reformed as a Phoenix club, did they?
Dun. Yeah. In 2012 they restarted in Serie D, which confusingly is not the fourth division of Italian football.
It's like the sixth.
It's the highest non-professional league. So they restarted in Serie D. They were promoted at their first attempt to the Lega Pro Seconda Divisione. I don't know. So that's the fourth tier, actually, and that's the lowest professional league. Then they were promoted to the Lega Pro Prima Divisione in 2015. Then they went to promoted to Serie B. And they got promoted to Serie A last week, along with Empoli. So that is from semi-pro to Serie A in 9 years.
That isn't bad.
Incredibly good going. Still playing at their Stadio Arecchi in Salerno there. I urge you to Google Salernitana Stadium. So, you like brutal concrete slabs, do you? It's a cracker.
Okay.
It really is. But yeah, I just thought that was a nice story of, you know, the little club that could, in a way. That
touch
was good.
Of the Castel de Sangro.
Yeah, but without the, like...
Mafia.
Yeah, mafia, massive corruption. I mean, it's Italian football. There's always dodginess. The owner has to sell up now they're in Serie A.
Uh-huh.
Because he's brother-in-law with the bloke who owns Lazio. And you can't have connections to two club ownerships in the same league, so he has to sell up. But yeah, there you go. I thought that was quite a nice hot.
Yeah,
yeah. Give me a hot.
Okay, well, just actually very related to that, and actually just to add on to the end of your one, isn't it good to see that Macclesfield have been able to reform and have a club back again?
The Silkmen.
Yeah, which will be back at which apparently is going to have Robbie Savage on the board.
What? Why?
Did he
play for them at some point?
Fuck no.
On his way down?
His career did nosedive, didn't it? I don't know. But good to see clubs getting refunded and back on their feet. My one is the quality of European football leagues this season. So I was thinking about this. Obviously, we've got to take out a couple of leagues from that. Bayern.
This one.
Well, Bayern again have won their ninth in a row, etc. And that's not been that much of a fascinating season. But actually... arguably best La Liga in years. Mm-hmm. You have Ligue 1, which
absolutely
is the real
bonkers.
One.
Yeah.
Both ends of the table, absolute intrigue there. And Juventus getting completely, you know, taken off their perch by not one, not two, but three teams above them. Isn't it great?
Incredibly... good thing about the Juve thing, because your boy at Juve was one of the driving forces behind the European Super League to stop teams like second place Atalanta not getting into the Champions League. So get it right around you.
And then, I mean, there's obviously the issue as well that they're doing that whole very stubborn, this will work sort of thing. And then isn't Serie A like meeting, or the Italian Football Association meeting quite soon? And if they don't, sort of like put the idea to bed, like the chance Juve are just papped out of the league entirely.
Yep. Also, Atalanta was going to be my hot a couple of weeks ago because they are one of the few teams, possibly the like only team ever in one of the big five leagues to score over 100 goals 3 years on the bounce. Entertainment.
That's all right.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
But yeah. I just think it's quite funny that as the Super League has, I was going to say taken off, as that chat started, and then obviously you had massive opposition from almost all quarters of the football world about that. Actually, the product on the ground in a lot of these leagues is actually still really good.
Yes.
And it is, you know, France isn't just a farmer's league. It doesn't always, you know, it's not always like that. There is some real good stuff happening there. And it has been very good to watch, it must be said. It's not always the case, but...
Madis stat from around the European leagues recently. Top scorer in the Eredivisie is some Greek lad. Got 26 goals.
Is that on the back of his shirt? Greek lad. Greek lad.
I can't remember his name.
Something Opos.
Yeah. But 26 goals. Running away with the Dutch Golden Boot. Playing for Venlo, who have been relegated. Yeah. Isn't that weird to have the league's top scorer in a relegated team? That's weird.
Of course, in Dutch it'll be the Golden Boot.
Het Golden Boot.
Yeah. That sounded Dutch. That was
if my Dutch is as good as I think it is, that's exactly what it is. So
I was really glad they were doing the postcards for the Eurovision. You know, every time in the Eurovision when you know they do a little video to announce.
You were
going to
get
country.
Eurovision in here somewhere.
Of course I was,
you?
And they filmed one from what must be the greatest name of a town in the Netherlands, which is -S-Togenbosch, home of Den Bosch, of course.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Very strange. Eurovision was great.
Anyway. Yeah, right. I've got a knot for you. I'm not sure how to phrase this exactly. Accidental season tickets.
Okay.
Right, okay. This is a good one, and this is specifically for my mate and long-time listener, Mike. Plymouth, they turned Home Park into a vaccination centre. You go to the ground and they were doing all the vaccines and the local NHS were around. The signs for the queuing weren't excellent, so people stood in line for like, you know, 4 minutes to an hour and ended up at the ticket office where they were selling season tickets to Argyle. So, yeah, I have a quote here from somebody, he didn't give his name, he just says, it was pretty busy up there, and I almost ended up with Argyle tickets by mistake.
I don't like that quote because it makes it seem like people in the town think of the club as a joke, in that sort of, oh God, almost ended up with Argyle tickets there.
Who would ever think of the mighty Plymouth Argyle as a joke?
What's the name? Is it the Plucky Pilgrim? Is that not their mascot? Or is something?
I don't know. I just like that they've been sponsored by Ginster's Pasties for since forever. Yes. Ooh-ar, etc.
The service station's team of choice.
Yes. I've got a bit of a soft spot for Plymouth because, like I said, one of my good mates is a fan, and I liked Romain Lariou some years ago. Good goalkeeper.
I like the shade of green that they use.
Yeah,
on their
nice
shirts.
Shade of green. Anyway, that was my knot. Did you have one more? Did you have an extra hot?
I do. I have my real hot, which
go on then.
And it saddens me to say this, David, but it is the Scottish Premiership.
Oh crikey! Okay.
Scottish Premiership has finished for a season, and this might be the worst Scottish Premiership season that I can remember.
Right.
I'm being completely honest about that because, all right, to put it in context, right? Rangers ran away with it. Didn't lose a game all season. Besides Rangers, I cannot think of any other club that will really be happy with themselves, with the exception of St Johnstone, who have made it to two cup finals.
They did, yeah, they made it to two cup finals, didn't they? That's right.
St Johnstone, by the way, who have scored 9 goals at home this season and finished the league 5th.
What?
That's telling you...
They've scored 9 goals at home all season.
5th.
That is... What?
The quality of this season has been fucking unbelievable.
That's only 2 fewer than Aberdeen.
Yeah, Aberdeen, who I was on the tram on the way up here a minutes ago. Lewis Ferguson, who's put in a transfer request already, by the way, which has been apparently rejected, by the club. So we're all having our own private meltdown up in the northeast. But I just can't think of any other team that would consider this being a good season. Aberdeen have been fucking dreadful. It's been a really bad brand of football this season. We at one point went over 1,000 minutes without a goal from open play.
Mm.
The only good thing is that we've finally got rid of Hamilton Accies. It's the only thing I can think about.
Fair enough.
Just miserable.
Who's coming up? Do we know?
Yes. Hearts, obviously.
Right, yes.
And there's going to be a playoff, which will be a really intriguing playoff with Killy against Dundee. Shout out yet again to Sky Sports, who have real difficulty distinguishing Dundee and Dundee United, who again put the wrong badge on their, coming up, you know, next week livery on the telly. You'd think it'd be easy, seeing as the Dundee United badge on it says Dundee United.
Yes.
But I think at this point, Sky just taking the piss. I think they know that every time this happens, it gets screen grabbed.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like, I don't like people treating the Scottish football with contempt, like Sky and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But honestly, based on this season, probably deserve it.
Right. Good on that bombshell.
There we go. It's compressed now.
You're right there. Right. Okay. So on that bombshell, we're going to move on to a game...
To a game with Liberettes, yes.
Yes, that we saw on telly on Friday. Friday the last, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, last Friday evening, we were... On the telly. I mean, every game is on the telly. But yeah, we were away in Liberets at the lovely Unisi Stadium. And it was a 1-1 draw, which looked like, on the face of it, quite a decent result. We absolutely nicked that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, they all count.
Yeah. Last Friday night, went to watch some good football. Thought we're gonna get fuck all. Result didn't matter at all. Last Friday night.
I've no idea what that is.
It sounded better in my head. You don't know Last Friday Night by Katy Perry?
No.
Do it all again.
It is Eurovision week, isn't it? Look at you. Blazing.
I'm out of control. I'm out of control. It is my Christmas. It's my... I mean, about Christmas, it doesn't... It's... Yeah, it lasts longer than Christmas because Christmas is just... It's my Eid.
Right. Yes. Well... I'm not sure what to say to that.
Before we go into the bones of the game, just to set the scene, if we won, then we would have, you know, saved ourselves from relegation for at least another week. If it was a loss, or a draw, that all depended on whether or not Teplice were able to get a result at Dinamo Česká Budějovice,
mm-hmm.
because the league is on head to head. And our head-to-head, if you've been listening for a while to his broadcast, against Teplice is not good.
No.
Not good at all.
So, the game began with, as you tweeted, it looks like Zbrojovka have set up with the game plan to give Slovan Liberec as much space and time on the ball as possible.
Yeah, it was a joke. it was the most wide-open thing I've seen for a long time. It's like, we started up with a 4-1-4-1 sort of thing going on, I think. And it's really weird. It's really weird because I thought the whole thing about us stopping playing 3 at the back was to stop people getting so much space in the final third. And then we decided to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that one between the defence and midfield was the return of Čermák. Return of Čermák once again. You know that there, here I am. So yeah, he was back. I'd forgotten he even existed. I forgot he was a player, really, that we had in there. But there he was.
You made that point during the game. It's like, Zbrojovka, if you get injured for like more than like 6 weeks, you just get forgotten about and then somehow get dusted off in the back of a cupboard after 6 months. Oh, go on, give him 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was like, funny because against Boleslav, the ghost of Lukasz Krzysztofek made the bench, and we didn't see him on the bench against Liberec either. He might have injured himself like walking up the tunnel or something. But yeah, like as you said, the first sort of 10-15 minutes, Liberec had all the possession, and if Mikhail Rabashits had his shooting boots on, we would have been 3 down at some point. He missed some blinding chances.
It was all on a sort of left-hand side where you had, I believe this was a game that we had Stepanovski in as a right-back, who no longer seems to be a right-back. And that's the side of the central where Jan Hlavica also played. And they just decided to stand off absolutely everyone for a good space of time. And Jan Hlavica, one of the problems with Jan Hlavica is every so often, and I'm sorry to say this, every so often he seems to just forget where he is. And he just sort of stands and doesn't really know what's going on around him, and then someone's just able to just breeze past him, and then he's, you know, he's already a couple of yards behind him. And that was definitely, you know, having an impact, especially with a team that is just so quick on the ball like Slovan is.
Yeah. We we made it in to halftime 0-0, and we were like, well, it's not bad. Survived a half.
Grew into it.
Yeah. Yeah, grew into it. And like I said, Ravishit's having an off day, because I was convinced, you know, law of the X and everything. And he took us to pieces in the first time we played him. He was very good. So the second half comes around. Again, it's sort of fairly equal. And then we give away a penalty for the biggest not a foul you'll ever see. Ludek Pernica penalised and given a foul against for cleanly tackling the ball.
Yeah, this really felt like we better make sure to get the nail in the coffin now that the boys are in Bohemia. One thing, just to very quickly go back, is what great chance we had at the start of that second half on like the 47th minute, which was really well worked on the left side. You had Hladík cutting in and firing just inches wide.
That's
of the
right. Yes, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah,
good chance. But the penalty was just Joe. Penalty was absolutely spurious.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never seen a cleaner tackle of the ball. He was like, he was coming into the box, didn't really have it massively under control. The Pernica does slide in, but gets the ball absolutely cleanly, barely gets the man, if at all, and yeah, penalty. Apparently, for some reason, there it is. But who steps up? But that man, Martin Berkovets, with his like blue COVID testing goalkeeper's gloves. It is a
really big gloves, weren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, as you said, it is a hashtag nice height for the goalkeeper. Yeah. But it's a fantastic save, nonetheless.
That's a great save. Like it's the right size for the goalkeeper, but you have to be on full stretch because. Like it's basically the penalty has slightly gone wrong in the sense that it's supposed to be just slammed into the bottom left corner, because that is the place that a keeper, if he is absolutely on the middle line, can't really stretch to usually.
Just slightly too high, isn't it? It's sort of like 2/3 of the way down the height of the goal, but still, great save.
Great save. I mean, Berkovets had a couple of really important saves in the game.
He came into it. He did another one. It was a kind of, you know, David Seaman against Sheffield United job later on.
Just, I mean, that's just, it's just insane. Like, brilliant. He has that, his arm has to go behind him, you know, just to sort of like, you know, palm it off the line, a big hand.
Yeah.
Thing. Really good.
Lovely stuff.
At that point, we were starting to get a little bit overrun in the sense that we had quite a good possession, but not much to do with it. And it was all the chances were really starting to go Slovan's way.
When you mentioned the attempt at the start of the second half, I forgot to mention, actually, I had written something down about this, and this was going to be my not, actually, until I found out the Plymouth Home Park season ticket COVID thing. And my not was going to be the impact of VAR and the absolute lack anymore in a number of ways of giving the forward the benefit of the doubt. Because it was always supposed to be that to encourage goals to be scored, if it was tight, you would give the forward the benefit of the doubt for offside. Obviously, that has absolutely been killed through VAR, because if your armpit's offside, then you're fucked. Anyway, Hladik scores a goal.
Forgot about that.
The assistant referee had flagged that he was offside, but the move is completed. He flags, nobody stops, really. Hladik finishes. It should be 1-0. Replays then show that the assistant referee had flagged incorrectly for Hladik to be offside. So the referee makes a mistake, or the refereeing team makes a mistake. Hladik scores. Now, if that had been something that had resulted in a goal and had shown the striker to be offside, that would have been ruled out. But the incorrect call was the linesman's. Yet the move was finished and Hladik scored. Why did they not go back to VAR to check that the linesman had not made a mistake, as in fact he had? They don't use VAR to help attackers at all, because this would have been a perfect time to double check. Was the linesman right to flag? No, he wasn't. Let the goal stand. But is that ever going to happen? No, absolutely not.
I'm also absolutely shocked that that happened to a team from Moravia playing in Bohemia.
Yeah, weird that, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that was just, it was just something that had never occurred to me before ever. Like, yet another scurrilous use of VAR absolutely penalises everything to do with forwards. Yeah, just
Think anyone that listens to us enjoys VAR.
No.
So we're...
I think anyone that watches football enjoys VAR.
As people say in my work, I think we're aligned on this point.
Good. Were you drawing a lines across the pitch with a computer?
Tell me about John Mosquera.
So yeah, John Mosquera, scourge of Zbrojovka in the first in the first leg, the reverse fixture that we played at home, who scored that absolute worldie. He didn't start this game, but he came on in the, I think, about the 76th minute, and 2 minutes later he'd scored.
Yeah.
The shortest man on the pitch, towering over one of our centre-backs to get a header in. Unbelievable.
Was that before or after Slovan hit the post?
I think that was after.
After, right. Yeah, it's...
Oh, yeah, because that was... It was just after Berkovets had made that incredible, like, scoop-from-behind save 2 minutes later... Caught in no man's land.
And at this point, you're thinking, oh, well. It's, again, one for the cliche. It's that man again, John Mosquera.
John Mosquera, yeah.
Boy, what I would do for John Mosquera to play for Zbrojovka.
Yeah.
He's just, what sort of team to have the luxury of putting him on the bench and then, you know, getting him on for the last 15 minutes?
He's also one of those lovely players that sort of made his career quite nicely here, because he was a kind of, you know, Bohemians cult figure for a while. Liberets clearly saw a player that could make that slight step up, help them get towards Europe, and he's done that incredibly well. He's had a great season. So, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Mosquera scores and you think, well, that's probably that then. Until the 93rd minute, when up pops the invisible man who you said you hadn't, you'd forgotten he was even on the pitch, or I hadn't even noticed him for the entire game. Antonín Rusek.
Yeah.
Dear me.
Antonín Rusek, who... I'm, this isn't even your sort of, you know, exaggeration or hubris, right? I cannot remember anything that Antonín Rusek did all game. I can't remember. I did actually forget that he was on the pitch. I just assumed that he was benched or wasn't. Because you just didn't see him.
No.
It's not the Antonín Rusek that we saw last season at all. It's sad in a way.
Well, actually, it's not the Antonín Rusek we've seen this season, because we would have seen him huffing and puffing and being completely ineffective, but getting into positions and completely fluffing it. Rather than this time, we didn't see him at all, but he gets his one chance at the very end and absolutely buries it. So,
yeah.
Where's that Antonín Rusek been?
Yeah. So that was pleasing, even though you can't celebrate Zbrojovka goals anymore without giving it 30 seconds in case something comes up that they saw somebody breathe on somebody aggressively and it's actually a free kick to the opposition.
I found that very funny because as soon as Rusek scores, he is absolutely like, you know, in the goal, grab the ball, run towards the centre circle with it. Doesn't even give the ref time because it's like 93 minutes. Yeah. It's like, just kick off, kick off, kick off. He's going to blow. He's going to blow for full time. Just do it. Don't even give him time to look.
I like the idea that, I mean, Rusek thought in the last 30 seconds, Dubrovka could kick on for the 3 points there, despite not threatening it for basically an hour before that.
I doubt Anthony Rusek thinks a lot, to be honest. Not the sharpest knife in the spoon. But
well, you know, when you think about the team, who is?
Yeah.
Well, probably there's probably like maybe one intelligent player, and he's going back to Pilsen. So
yeah. I mean, you know, not on game intelligence, but you know, Havertz seemed like a nice lad when he was here.
That's true.
Very, very generously talking to us for an hour and a half.
Yeah, we do know for a fact that he went to university.
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah. yeah. So that happened, and then Teplice won, and we got relegated. So, yeah, that's that.
The Vedos brothers couldn't come through for us, could I?
Yeah.
Like, what were you thinking, guys? Did you not want to see a repeat of the Vedos derby?
Vedos derby!
Next season.
Yeah. Marking that on the timestamp there. 51:50.
I've never felt this powerful.
That's a five, not a three. Anyway, so, yeah. We've got some previews, so they're fairly pointless. We're going to do them in one thing, aren't we?
Yeah.
Home to Offenbach and away. What a way to finish the season. Away at Sparta Prague. So, yeah, stick around for those if you feel like it, and some Tenpole Tudor. Opava.
Don't have anything for Opava. I just basically wanted to use this, which is a Sunday at 5, as a recommendation for something we should do.
Watch the Monaco Grand Prix.
No. Okay, so we know what's happened with Opava. Opava have had their moments, as maybe we have, and Příbram, who are apparently resurgent now after beating Jablonec, because that happened.
Yeah, madness.
Yeah, so we're no longer like the one above the safety. We're now below that. Opava down. I mean, everyone's pretty much down at this point. I mean, I think there's still a tiny chance, isn't there, that Příbram can save themselves, and that's not going to happen.
I don't know. Příbram have some pretty powerful friends.
True, Chris Cortez. So. I have no notes for this. If you want to know about the Opava squad, who will be playing next season, then we did a preview of that before the away game, mm-hmm. which was also this side of the winter break, so I thought it's exactly the same information. But one thing that we need to do is we need to not play anyone that's going to be leaving, is my thought. So that means Pernica, it means Reiter. Because it's absolutely, it doesn't fucking matter what happens now, right? I mean, I don't really care about Pride. If we're bottom, we're bottom. It doesn't, you know, bottom and second bottom, there's no difference really. So we need to start using these games to think about what we're actually going to try and do next season with the players that we're going to have. So that maybe means, you know, getting, you know, Kristufek for the last 15 minutes on just for a sort of a jog around. Maybe playing around with who we're going to have up front. I mean, I'd give Vila 90 minutes, for example, because I think he's going to be a much bigger part this season. There's no guarantee that people like Antonín Rusek stick around, though.
Vila was excellent when he came on against Opava in the reverse fixture, wasn't he? He basically panicked them enough that Hladík got the space to put the second away.
The thing about Vila is he's strong, and we don't really have that sort of player up front, so it'd be good to see how he can get on. And you just give a couple of fringe players a look out. The annoying thing about being relegated, right, is that you know that the team that you have currently is not good enough to stay in the division, but that team is probably going to make a good fist of the second division, which, to be fair, is of a reasonably poor standard in this country. Yeah. So you're caught in limbo. And of course, if you're going down to the league, you're not going to attract the right players at that time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be about getting some cheaper, more experienced players who are in the twilights of their careers at Zlín, at Karviná again. And it's going to be about blooding in the youth and keeping some key players. I'm already thinking that we'll be very lucky if we have any players like Pachlopnik to start next season. I think that he'll almost certainly be away. The question is if Tondar Rusek has had a bad enough season to stop any interest that he was having from teams like Banik Ostrava.
Yeah.
So experimental team. I mean, fucking put Floda in goal even. Yep. You know, it doesn't matter at this point. We should just actually have a laugh with it and also pretty much use this as a mass demonstration against the fucking owner.
Yeah, if we can mobilize those 288 lads. I say lads, I mean like middle-aged men and their kids. That were the main audience there last time.
Yes, just a bunch of lads sitting down every so often just going, oh, yes, just Maria.
Yeah.
So that's basically Opava. Rinse and repeat for Sparta. It's away.
Apart from they're not going down.
Yeah, Sparta, a good team. the one, Hložek has just been outstanding, hasn't he? Yeah. Like, I mean, 18 years old. Just, you know, so
yeah, lots of rumours floating around that, you know, Liverpool want him to replace, you know, possibly one of the front three. Maybe, you know, if Mane sods off to Real, Hložek might be not a ready-made replacement, but he's only 18 and,
yeah,
you know, I mean, he is that good. So
they're just quite a nice attacking team like that, like Juliš. I think that actually having Krejci, original Krejci. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought that he's had a reasonably good season. The problem that Sparta are having is that they've achieved the bare minimum this season. Like, so 14 points off Slavia. I mean, absolutely in the shadow of that team right now. Yet again, went a season without beating them. I think that's something like, it's in its 20s now anyway, of derby games without a victory for Sparta Prague. I think they're going to finish second now. They're 3 points. They've got a 3 points gap on Jablonec in third. Jablonec are playing Slovan next, and then,
right, yeah.
No, they're not. They're playing Slavia next, and right, then they're okay. playing. They're playing Pardubice, and Sparta have us, and we're terrible.
Yeah,
and Bohemians that are a team that is quite difficult to break down, but once you break them down, it tends to be all one-way traffic.
I mean, you know, technically it is a Prague derby, Bohemian Sparta, of course it is, but Bohemians also absolutely on the beach at this point as well. So
I like Bohemians, but they've always come across to me as quite a slow, cumbersome, clunking team. Like, not really that much fast-paced play.
True.
Not much sort of creativity, but just sort of go for solidity, you know. Working class character of that part of Prague, I don't know. But yeah, no, I'd back Sparta to get second, and I think, I mean, they'll obviously beat us. It depends if they've sewn up second, I suppose. Again, just have a laugh with it. I don't really care. Yep. I mean, will I watch it? Yes, but it's not going to be particularly pleasant. We have to use these games to start trying to get a grip on the realities that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have no grip on this managerial situation. It's completely up in the air, but we need to start seeing about who's looks like they can maybe do a job for us.
Thing is, about the managerial situation, Dostalek, now relegation is confirmed, looks like he went into full bridge burning mode, criticizing the ownership and saying, oh, I wanted X, you know, players and they didn't buy me anyone.
I saw that.
But
I don't believe him.
No, I, like, like, that statement lost me even more respect for him than I had previously, and that was very little, because he didn't even have the bravery to make it a kind of us versus them situation. If in January, like, if by the end of the transfer window he'd said, I asked for players, I didn't get any, at least he would have got people on side, and, you know, I'm having to deal with this as best I can. I know it's difficult, but I did ask. I didn't get anything. I've got no backing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, but, you know, that didn't even happen. So he was looking out for himself, basically, you know, trying to keep in with the owners. And now everything's gone tits up. He's decided, oh, but I didn't have backing. And therefore, spineless.
Yeah.
Absolutely spineless.
At least Mihalek had the gumption sometimes to actually sort of like start at a press conference and go, sorry, I fucked the tactics today.
Yeah.
Because he was changing them every single game, because that stupid idea that we have to tinker and change our formation and our tactics to cater to each opponent rather than actually set up a solid system.
Well, and also he was manager at the point where we were losing like 9 players a week to COVID.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that also under, you know, file under slightly mitigating circumstances.
Yeah, like, I mean, Dostalek has really got no leg to stand on with all this. Like, I mean, Dostalek...
Especially in those stupid skinny joggers.
I mean, I will say that it's... I want to talk about this a lot in a fortnight about what I think are the things that basically cost us this season. And you cannot say that he was a key mitigating factor in us going down. You have to. Because a lot of the stuff, the performances on the pitch, were entirely his fault. He didn't have a clue what he was doing.
Anyway, as Sam says, we're gonna do a slightly depressing deep dive into that in a couple of weeks in our end of season jamboree. I don't know what we've got prepared for that, but yeah,
I'm looking forward to getting my orienteering badge.
We're recording it all in a tent, so yeah, that'll be fun. I'm stocking up on woggles.
Kumbaya, the league. Kumbaya.
Can you buy the league? Pribramya. More of that kind of nonsense next week.
This was going to be a short episode, wasn't it? And it just turned into a rant about Scottish football, about Dostalek.
Anyway, if you aren't already, follow us on all the social medias. Thank you. For getting in touch when you have. It's been very nice.
Last thing, just off the top of my head here. Obviously, we will be having a review in a fortnight's time, but as usual, we will be having a summer where we will almost certainly be keeping up the podcasts now and then. So here is, as usual, a call to you, the listener. If you would like us to go into anything pertaining to Zbrojovka or the state of Czech football, please send us your recommendations, moral support, jokes. We'd be happy to laugh at them.
Yeah. Just a reminder, the things we've done so far. We've looked at the Czechs at tournaments, Euro 96, 2004. We looked at the 60s connection between the Czech League and the Scottish League and the Intercity Fairs Cup, didn't we?
We did.
We've had a couple of interviews. So, if there's any particular field you'd like us to do a bit of a dive into, then let us know. That would be very nice.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much, as always, listener. And thank you, David, for yet another wonderful show.
You're very welcome. The same to you, Mr. Sam.
I don't know what I was going
to say. No, what was that? That was odd. We've never done that.
No.
Right. To the pub.
Bye.